No one should ever be left alone to die. No one should ever have to die on their own. It just means you just show up. You're there with them. You're not saying anything profound. You may not even be talking to them. Instead of reading the magazine out in the living room, you sit in the bedroom with them and read the magazine in there. Instead of watching TV in the den, you sit in their room with them and you watch TV with them there. Or you knit, or you talk, or you sleep, or you work on your computer. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're simply in the room.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick shows us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When a Friend is Dying.
Now, we know that people react differently to death because we're all different. But there are some commonplace stages that people typically go through in preparing for death, particularly if they're not prepared. Now, you don't have to go through these stages, but most people do because they're not prepared to die. I'm prepared to die. I'm ready to die. If I were to die right now, it wouldn't bother me. I've made my peace with God. I'm a friend of God. I'm not afraid to go to heaven. I've been a friend of God for over 40 years. I talk to him all the time, just like I'm talking to you. In fact, I just talked to him backstage about you. And I was saying, Lord, help me to say the right things to those people out there. So I'm not afraid to die. I don't have any unfinished business. I know I'm going to a better place. But most people are not prepared to die. And so they go through the stages of denial and then anger and then bargaining and then depression and finally acceptance. We're going to look at these this morning because thousands of years before Elizabeth Kubler-Ross identified these, David talks about all five stages of grief, which apply to any kind of major loss, tragedy, but particularly to like a terminal illness in the Psalms. David wrote the book of Psalms. And here are the five stages. You might write these down. Stage one, when somebody has been given the news that they're going to die, the first stage is denial. Denial. People react with denial. And what they say is, you know, this isn't happening to me. It really isn't happening at all. I feel fine. I'm not dying. And they live in denial. Now, what is denial? Denial is actually just fear. It's a form of fear. Anything that you are afraid of, you tend to deny. Now, let me get real specific. Whatever you're denying is not a problem in your life, you're afraid of. Oh, no, that's not really a problem. Guess what? You're afraid it's a problem, and that's why you're denying it. Because you know it's a problem, but you deny it, and you deny it because you're afraid. And when people are afraid of death, they deny that they're dying. David said this in Psalm 55, verse 4, up here on the screen. I am frightened inside. The terror of death has attacked me. He was afraid of dying. And so as a result, you live in denial because you don't want to admit anything that you're afraid of. Stage two, once you get through denial, you move to anger. And what happens in stage two is when you have a loss, then you get angry. And people, when they really realize they're going to die, they get angry. They get angry at God. They get angry at the doctors. They get angry at everybody else in the family. They get angry at themselves. It's not a fun particular time. And they start saying the why questions. Why is this happening to me? It's not fair. This can't happen. I refuse to accept this. And they get angry. And it can be a very difficult period of time. David says it like this in Psalm 39. He says, I was overcome with anger. And the more I thought, the more troubled I became. I could not keep from asking, Lord, how long will I live? This is a typical question of somebody who's just found out they're going to die. How long will I live? When will I die? Tell me, how soon will my life end? The anger stage is the questioning stage of dealing with death. And it's saying, why is this happening to me? And they ask questions that are really unanswerable. Why me? Why now? Why this? What for? And you're not going to get the answers to those. But that's the anger stage. Then you move to stage three, which is bargaining. And people tend to move to this stage, which in bargaining, you basically say, God, if you'll just let me live a little bit longer, I promise to, and then you fill in the blank. I will be a good person from now on. I will be a better husband from now on. I will stop, name your favorite sin. I will tithe 20%. I will go on a peace trip. God, if you'll just let me see the graduation of my kids, and you start trying to bargain with God to keep on living. Now, it doesn't work because you can't bargain with God. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 8:8, no one can keep from dying or put off the day of death. The day of your death was established before you were born. That is a battle we cannot escape, and we cannot cheat our way out.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
The day of your death was established before you were born. That is a battle we cannot escape, and we cannot cheat our way out. You can't bargain with God. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. In fact, one of the verses there on your outline, Psalm 49, says this, you can never pay God enough to stay alive forever. I'm talking about here on earth. And be safe from death. So the bargaining doesn't work. You move from denial, it's not happening, to anger, it is happening and I'm ticked about it, to bargaining, God, if you'll do this, or I can bargain with my friends or whatever, I make some kind of bargain, I'll promise if you'll just let me live longer. Then when you realize that doesn't work, you move to stage four, which is depression. And in depression, when people come to this stage in dealing with their inevitable death, they say, I just don't care anymore. What's the point? I'm going to die. Why bother? Why make the effort? I'm so sad. And you just feel like giving up. And they go through a period of depression. Hopefully, they get to stage five eventually, which is acceptance. And acceptance is when you say, well, I may as well accept it. And I may as well prepare for it. It's going to be okay. I'm ready for whatever happens. Now, as I said, you don't have to go through these five stages. If you're spiritually prepared for death like I am, I don't intend to go through 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just already at the point of acceptance. When God wants to take my life, He is free to take my life. It was His from the beginning. He gave it to me. And I'm ready to be with Him whenever He wants me to go. So you don't have to go through these, and not even everybody goes through them in order. But if you don't understand these stages, in your friend's life or your mother or your father's life or your brother or sister, somebody close to you who's going to die in the next year, you're going to tend to pull away. You're going to tend to detach. You're going to tend to alienate yourself from people when they are either angry or bargaining or depressed or whatever. And when they need you the most, you're not going to be there. David complained about this, the distance that people give to those who are dying. We often pull back from people when they're dying. The Bible tells us in Psalm 38, verse 11, there on your outline, he says, my loved ones and friends stay away, fearing my disease. Circle the word fear. Fear always causes you to detach in a relationship. If you have any fear with a friend, any fear with a partner, any fear with a marriage, you're going to tend to pull back. Fear and anxiety cause distance in relationships. My loved ones and friends stay away, fearing my disease. And even my own family stands at a distance. You know, whenever I read that verse, I always think of AIDS. And if there's any disease that people tend to back off from, it's AIDS. Even family members, they're afraid they're going to get it. They're afraid of the stigma. They're afraid, they're ignorant of how you get it. And they don't understand it all. And people tend to pull back from people who have AIDS, have HIV AIDS. Now, it's not just true with diseases, though. It's true in death, because most people feel awkward around people who are dying. It's why you don't go to funerals. It's why you don't go to the hospital, make those hospital visits. It's why you're not there in the intensive care room, because you feel awkward. First, it reminds you of your own mortality. And second, you don't know what to say. You don't want to do. You don't know what to feel. You don't know what to think. How do I help a friend or a relative or someone I know who is dying? I don't know what to say, so I'll just stay away. Well, we're going to talk about that today, and I'm going to give you the answers, and I'm going to train you today so that you know, unlike most of the people in the world, how to deal with people who are dying. How do you give them comfort? Well, there are 7 things that you can do, and I want you to take notes today, because if any day you need to take notes, it's today. You're going to need this even in this next year. Comfort has several different aspects to it. There's a physical aspect, there's an emotional aspect, there's a practical aspect, there's a relational aspect, and there's a spiritual aspect. And true comfort takes into account all 5 of these aspects. And to help you just remember these, I put them a little acrostic, C-O-M-F-O-R-T, comfort. Now, the C in comfort is the first thing you need to do, and that is I need to confront my own fears. Before you can help anybody else, you've got to deal with your own fears in your own life, because death exposes the hidden fears in us. And that, as I said, that's why people avoid funerals, because we're afraid of death, we're afraid of dying. It sounds kind of spooky and everything. And when we feel exposed, when we feel naked, we typically hide. And a lot of times people do this. Somebody's sick in the bedroom and we're hiding out in the living room. Or somebody's sick in the hospital and we're hiding out in the waiting room. Or somebody is desperately needs a friend and we're not there, because we're hiding because we feel afraid. Now, this is as old as Adam and Eve. Adam said this in Genesis chapter 3. He said, I was afraid because I was naked. In other words, I was fully exposed. And I hid. And human beings have been doing this ever since. Whenever you feel like your fears are about to be exposed, you start hiding. Now, what are the fears that you have with people who are dying? Well, you're afraid you're going to say the wrong thing. You're afraid that you're going to make matters worse. You're afraid that you're going to mess up. And so, as a result, you don't do anything. Let me tell you something. As a pastor who has been, I couldn't count the number of people I've been with as they took their last breath. I have watched many, many people die, and I've been there in the rooms with them many, many times. It is almost impossible to mess it up. Let me just put your mind at ease. There's almost nothing you can say to a dying person that's going to mess them up, except, ooh, you look bad, you know? But outside of that, almost nothing you can say. It's not like you're going to spill the beans and say you're dying. They know that. They already know it. And just you being there will make a difference. For those of you who haven't been around somebody dying, death is really quite ordinary. There's nothing spooky about it. No ghost comes out. There's nothing weird or wicked. Really, when people die, they just stop breathing. It's about all there is to it. It's very normal. Everybody in the world eventually does it. It's not scary. It's not spooky. It's not weird. You don't hear music. You know, people just stop breathing. There is nothing weird about it at all. They just stop breathing. And the one moment they're here, and the next moment they're not. And contrary to TV, Lifetime TV movies and Hallmark shows, there are very few Hallmark moments when people die. People don't sit up in bed and go, "And I love you." You know, it just doesn't happen that way. I have been around so many people when they die. Very few make great statements. It's pretty rare. You know, my dad made one, but most people, they don't say anything profound. It's just their body slows down and their heart slows down, and their breathing slows down, and they stop, and that's it. And it's not something that you need to be afraid of. As I said, there aren't any of these Hallmark moments like you see on TV. The biggest mistake you can make with somebody who's dying is simply not be there. Not be there. That takes us to the first, the next letter, O, which is the first thing you need to do, and that is I need to offer my physical presence. It is the greatest gift that you can give to someone who is dying. Offer my physical presence. That means you show up. You are there. You are with them. You stay close. You stay near. And you are with them when they are dying. That's what, you see, the two biggest fears that people have when they're dying are, number one, the fear of abandonment. And number two, the fear of dying alone. You don't want to die alone. You want somebody there when you're dying. You don't want to be abandoned and left alone to die by yourself. No one should ever be left alone to die. No one should ever have to die on their own. It just means you just show up. You're there with them. You're not saying anything profound. You may not even be talking to them. But what it means is you get in the same room with them just to be with them. Instead of reading the magazine out in the living room, you sit in the bedroom with them and read the magazine in there. Instead of watching TV in the den, you sit in their room with them and you watch TV with them there. Or you knit, or you talk, or you sleep, or you work on your computer. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're simply in the room. That's the big deal. That's the greatest gift you can give to somebody who's dying, just to be with them. You don't have to be talking to them all the time. They don't want to talk, but just be present with them. This is the problem David had in his dying. Notice this verse on the screen, Psalm 142. I looked for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit about what happens to me. That is the epitaph of millions of elderly people right now who are in rest homes and assisted living and nursing homes and all these things. And they said, nobody cares about me. Nobody pays attention to me. I could die over here in the corner and nobody'd even notice. Everybody needs the physical presence. Now, let me just get you really practical. One of the things that you can do to show physical presence, one of the greatest gifts you can give to somebody who's dying, is touch them. Touch them. You write that down. Touch them. And touch says physical, I'm here with you. It is not an accident that when a baby is crying, you pick it up and touch it. You pick up the baby and you draw it close to you and you hold it tight. And it is in that physical connection that the baby calms down. Our skin was made by God to be touched. Your skin was made to be touched. Now, when a person's in bed and they're dying, and what do you touch? I mean, a lot of people don't like to be touched on the face. I mean, it's a matter of personal preference. You can squeeze their hand. Let me just give you a little thing that I do. Touch their elbow. Elbow is a nice non-sexual place to touch. Okay, and what you do is you can grab one hand, grab their hand with one hand, and put your hand under their elbow at the same time. And that says, I'm not just kind of hanging on, I'm here. I'm here for you. And there is a physical presence of using both of your hands to hold a hand and put your hand on their forearm or their elbow and just hold them like that. And you watch the stress go down. You can do this.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change? Or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own, because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. That's why I've written a little book called God's Power to Change Your Life. It's a really practical guide for making positive, practical, and lasting changes in your life. And how do you do it? By letting God work through you. Now, you and I both know there are a lot of good self-help books out there that they'll tell you the right thing to do, how to, you know, break bad habits and how to set good habits and all these great things. But they are missing the most important part. They don't give you the power to change your life. That power only comes from God. You can't get it out of a book. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written. When you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get yours, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.